Now a look at the downside of yelling at our kids. Now that spanking is increasingly out of vogue, researchers suspect parents are yelling more than they used to. The research coming back shows that the negative effects of yelling last longer and do more damage, maybe even than spanking. So how can parents dial down the yelling and still discipline their kids?
Sue Schellenberger is with us now. She's a senior writer at the Wall Street Journal, where she writes the Work and Family column. Sue, welcome to Central Time.
It's nice to be with you.
Well, what do we know about how yelling affects kids?
Well, a study showed that teenagers whose parents have used harsh verbal discipline, such as shouting, tend to have more behavior problems and depression later. And other research, interestingly, says that the consequences may go beyond spanking. 8-year-olds whose parents disciplined them by yelling had less satisfying relationships with their romantic partners in their 20s, for example. And parents who yell just miss a chance to teach their children to regulate their emotions, is what researchers think.
So that's pretty extreme. You would think that actually hitting your child, striking your child like typical spanking, would be more damaging to a kid somehow. Why is it that that is not as bad as yelling at your child?
There is it's a very subtle thing, and the researchers aren't sure of the answer, but it seems as if that the damage done by spanking can be moderated a bit by parental warmth at other times. That is, if a parent is really warm and loving, that the child can still feel okay about himself. But when a child is yelled at a lot, the warmth doesn't make that go away, and researchers believe it's because it kind of establishes a pattern of how people relate to each other. We don't go around spanking each other as adults usually, but we speak to each other all the time and try to resolve anger. And if parents see it done by, or excuse me, if children see it done by yelling at home, maybe they sort of imbibe that and it becomes a habit. That's researchers' theory at this point.
Is there data to tell us anything about how much parents are yelling at kids? Your piece said, you know, that they suspect that more yelling is happening. What do we know about that?
There aren't longitudinal studies, but there have been some pretty good recent studies on just the incidence of the prevalence of yelling. And some 90% of parents yell at their kids when they're little, ages 2 to 4, according to a study at the University of New Hampshire a few years ago. And it drops to about 86%. Parents yell at least once in the last year at their teenagers, 13 to 17. And the average parent yells about 12 or 13 times a year at their children. This was a Gallup survey of 991 households. So it's a pretty good sample. So those of us who yell, which include me, you don't have to feel alone. It's something that all parents slip and do. And it's also not always bad. You're not always attacking your child. Maybe you're just saying, I just mopped the floor and it's all covered with dirty footprints. It's, you know, you can be angry about that, but you aren't attacking your child. It's not the kind of yelling that does harm.
Okay, so what kind of yelling does do harm?
It's the kind of yelling that becomes a personal attack. When a parent really loses it, loses track of boundaries, and feels just flooded by emotion and begins to take it personally and screams, why can't you ever remember anything I tell you? Or you always get that wrong. Or you're just doing this to frustrate me. Those are the kinds of personal attacks that make a child feel belittled. And ultimately, if it happens too much, amount to abuse. And this happens, of course, when a parent loses control of his or her emotions.
So more yelling may be happening, researchers think, because parents, for instance, can't spank, or it seems that spanking is not a parenting practice that is very much in style for various reasons anymore. So what tools do parents still have left in the toolkit if they want to get their child to behave, they want them to listen, and they want to, you know, make an impact? What do they do?
Right. Very, very good question. And I interviewed a lot of parenting experts on this, and among the best ways is to, if you've, let's say you've already lost your temper and you're trying to mop up the damage, you can try to turn it into a solution-finding exercise where children learn to solve problems. One mother I interviewed had really lost it with their child when the kid was really acting badly on a group trip in her minivan. And after she calmed down, she went and sat down with the child and said, that must never happen again. Now tell me, what was going on that made you act that way? And she really actively listened to the child without judgment, and he explained he had been so uncomfortable, wedged between two car seats, and he kept trying to push, and it didn't work. And so he really had his say. And then she said, I understand. Well, what do you think we could do to keep that from happening again? I'm going to give you a choice. Next time you can stay home with the babysitter, or maybe you can think of another solution. And he came up with a bunch of solutions, some of which weren't realistic, but one finally worked. He didn't have to stay home, and instead they took turns sitting in that uncomfortable place. The family, children did, and they also adjusted the car seat so everybody was more comfortable. The kids learn to solve problems. The focus is shifted, and the child feels respected, and that's a really good way to approach it.
So to get to that good place, a parent has to first master their own frustration and anger and make sure it doesn't come out, and then maybe they can have those conversations. So are there tools for parents to keep them from blowing their top?
Well, yes, and some of these will be familiar to folks who've studied anger management or emotional regulation, but certainly learning to notice the signs. If you have a tightness in your throat or chest, you start having negative thoughts about yourself, your breathing accelerates, you clench your jaw, you feel overwhelmed, that is a time to say, whoa, a blow-up is coming, and take those calming techniques. They're simple, but they do work. A deep breath, you know, envision a pleasant scene, count to 10, leave the room if you can. Think calming thoughts. You know, I'm having a miserable day, but, you know, it's better than if I lose my temper, it will get worse. And try talking to your child in a different way, too. This can also work. You know, start sentences with I. One mom I interviewed had really gotten angry at her children for repeatedly forgetting to feed the dog, who was always starving by morning. And she started saying, I don't like to see the dog so hungry and uncomfortable. I expect you to keep your chores done and to feed him every night. And then go on to say, you know, how are we going to get this done? And then, you know, impose consequences if it doesn't happen. Turning it into an I want and I expect, what are we going to do to solve this problem, can work very well if you can keep your temper under control.
So let's say you don't and you lose it, because probably most parents will lose it despite their best intentions at some time or another. Are there things that they can say or behaviors that they can do to kind of minimize the damage?
Right. In addition to the process I described a moment ago of going to the child and explaining, you know, this happened, I felt really angry, it must never happen again. I expect, and you explain your expectations and then hear the child out. And then engage in problem solving, turn it into a plus, a positive teaching opportunity. Another thing I found some parents did, if it was just really, you know, an emotional moment, they waited till they calmed down, they went back, they apologized. One mother who had really had a problem with yelling did this with one of her kids, and I talked to both the mother and the child, and the child said, you know, it wasn't so much that I remembered her getting really angry, but it meant a lot to me that she cared that much about my feelings. And that can really elevate a child's self-respect and empower them to do the same in their own relationships.
So is this going to represent a big sea change in the parenting field? Spanking seems like something that a lot of parents can understand why maybe it wasn't the best thing to do anymore. But yelling, I don't know, in a way, yelling seems sort of more ingrained in the culture. You're just thinking about, you know, the Costanza family on Seinfeld who made a trade of yelling at each other. Is it going to be harder to stop yelling?
I think it is, and that's one reason researchers are turning their attention to it. It's culturally okay to yell, and again, you know, we see these effects popping up in 20-somethings dating and marriage relationships. If they get yelled at home, they yell in their relationships, they are used to being treated badly. It's more insidious. It can become entrenched much more easily, and I think that's why researchers are working so hard to come up with, you know, research showing the damage and also good parenting techniques to avoid the problems. Adele Faber is a parenting expert who's written some excellent books on anger management. There's some other very good ones out there as well. Jill Savage, No More Perfect Moms. These books are really helpful.
Sue, thank you so much for coming on and talking about it today.
It's been a pleasure.
We've been talking to Sue Schellenberger, senior writer at the Wall Street Journal, where she writes the Work and Family column.